Good evening, everyone. Tonight, our learning is sponsored by Helen and Manny Adler in memory of Helen's mother, Yitl Bas Binyamin Zev, Zichron Levracha, by Stanley Fisher in memory of his father, Natan Ben Moshe, Zichron Levracha, by Stan and Laurie Steinreich in memory of Stan's father, Mordechai Ben Herschel, Zichron Levracha, by Beth and Ronnie Stern in memory of Ronnie's father, Chaim Yirmiyo Ben Yospa Yoel, Zichron Levracha, and by Fran and Jerry Weinberg in memory of Fran's mother, Shendel Peril Bas Moshe, Zichron Levracha. The Neshamos should have an aliyah. In our last two Chaburas, we were discussing different means of spiritual motivation described by the Ramchal. The first was what he described as the highest tier for those who are really motivated by the right reasons, who are just willing to do what's right because it is right, to do the MS because it is MS, as we saw in the Rambam, in the Rambam's definition of Avas Hashem. We saw that the second tier was thinking about the kavod, is really what the Ramchal says, the kavod that one will receive in the Shemayim, the honor and prestige that one will receive for doing what is right. And that should serve as a motivator as well. And I was arguing that that shouldn't be just a superficial or simplistic kind of social hierarchy thing, but was rather a function of living with ambition in our spiritual lives, like we do in other areas of our lives. And then he identifies the third tier, the lowest, what he calls the lowest tier of spiritual motivation. And that's what he calls the hamon, the spiritual motivation for the masses at large, for those who can't achieve those higher levels of spiritual motivation. Now, what is that lowest level of motivation? So this the Ramchal describes on page Chaf Hei. Again, if one is in the Feldheim version, in the bottom paragraph. He says, unsurprisingly, that the lowest level of motivation is schar v'onesh, plain and simple, just reward and punishment. Seeking a reward for the mitzvahs that you do, and fear of punishment for the things that you do wrong. For os omek adin an heichan magia asher be'emes roi lezda'azeya ulezcharer tamid. Ki mi ya'amod biyom adinu mi yitzdak lepnei voro, ba'asher ashkafazo mitvukdekas al kol dover katon ogadol. When you examine the extent to which we are judged, omek adin an heichan magia, just the full extent to which we are held responsible for our actions, and you realize that really we should be trembling constantly in fear of this judgment. Because who can truly claim to be fully righteous? Who can truly claim to be justified or come out with an earned positive verdict from the Creator? When you consider those things, when Hashem is judging us for large and small things, you will be afraid. And through that fear, you will serve Hashem. That's what the Ramchal identifies as the lowest level of motivation. Now, when it comes to reward and punishment, I think there is a kind of duality or tension in the way we often relate to it. On the one hand, I think there's a certain squeamishness that we often have when we talk about divine punishment or justice and things like that. And I think that squeamishness that we have towards it exists on multiple levels. Number one, it is because we do indeed know that it is not supposed to be our primary motivator in our avodas Hashem, as we've been discussing over the last 2 weeks, or certainly two times ago. Our primary motivator should be doing what's right because it's right. We shouldn't just be motivated by a fear of punishment. When you're dealing with young children and you try to convince them to do mitzvos and avoid averos, you have to put it in terms of reward and punishment, because frankly, they think very pragmatically, and trying to describe to a young child doing what's right lishma, just because it's right, is too abstract to really grasp. So when you're teaching young children, you tell them, oh, if you do a mitzvah, you get such great reward. And if you do an avera, Hashem holds you accountable as a means of kind of communicating why you should do what's right. Unfortunately, lots of times people never grow out of that mentality. I taught high school for many years when teenagers are first starting to realize that maybe there's more to it than just seeking reward and punishment. And I would tell my students all the time, you have to get out of the Mario mentality to Yiddishkeit, whereby it's all about collecting coins. Mario is a Nintendo game, for those who are unfamiliar. I realize I'm talking to a different crowd now, but you know, where you collect coins and you avoid the Goombas and all the bad guys, right, just in order to maximize your points at the end of the game. And I said to them, that's not what Yiddishkeit is about. That's kind of the mentality that you have when you're young, because that's all you can grasp, but you need to move beyond that. So part of our squeamishness with punishment is, I guess, a more mature approach to what our Avodas Hashem is about, and a recognition that it's not primarily about reward and punishment. That's not our focal point. That's not at the center of our religious experience. Part of it is not due to internal sources, but I think partially due to external sources. The way divine wrath and punishment are described in the culture around us is in ways that describes God as a God that's in certain ways foreign to us. The United States of America was built on a Puritan ethic. And the Puritans believed in this really angry, judgmental, vengeful God that doesn't necessarily accord with the Kel Chanun V'Rachum, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the true Ribbono Shel Olam, who is a God of mercy and love and compassion and the like. So part of it, I think, is we think of talk of hellfire and things like that. We associate that with external Puritan Christian sources, and that creates discomfort with the concept, Lahavdil, that is a true Torah concept. So there is that discomfort or squeamishness surrounding punishment. On the flip side, we know it's an important principle. The Rambam lists Schar V'Onesh, the notion that there is some kind of reward and punishment, is one of the 13 core principles of Jewish faith. The Rambam says it's something that you must believe. It's a central component of Jewish dogma. And not only do we believe it to be true, but the Ramchal says it actually plays an important role in one's Avodas Hashem in terms of serving as perhaps not a primary motivator, but as a secondary motivator. And I would like to suggest that to a large degree, punishment need not be thought of in angry, vengeful terms, Rachmana Litzlan. Again, the Ribbono Shel Olam we know is a Kelchanan V'Rachum, is always compassionate, merciful, and the like. I think lots of times the notion of reward and punishment should serve as a means for us just to think rationally about the choices that we're making and about the actions that we're doing. And this is something that builds on many of the earlier themes that we were discussing in the Ramchal. In philosophical discourse, there was like a problem surrounding the notion of punishment for sin. Many great philosophers of the Enlightenment period and the 1800s and the like wondered how it is that people could sin if they truly believe that they'll be punished for it afterwards. It was a major philosophical problem. Sin was irrational. If you truly believe that every sin you commit and whatever fleeting pleasure you get from it is going to be punished afterwards, then how would you ever sin? Why would you ever sin? So some philosophers, I think it was Kant, who suggested that nobody truly believes. They profess to believe in punishment, but they don't believe in it afterwards. And he couldn't understand how people could actually sin if they truly believed they were being punished. But I think very often that's not the actual answer. People do truly believe it. But we often just, because we're limited human beings, and this is a theme that comes up throughout the Maseilas Yesharim, we've seen it already, we'll see it again, is that we have trouble thinking clearly about what we were doing in just clear rational terms. And very often our actions are not motivated by rational thought or calculations. They're just on the basis of women instinct. The example that I like to give is, you get a mosquito bite, right? And what does your mother always tell you when you get a mosquito bite? If you scratch it, it's going to get worse later. Do you believe that that's true? Yeah, you believe it's true because you've experienced it. I've experienced it a million times. Do I scratch the mosquito bite anyway? Of course I do. We all do, right? Because it's not a rational, calculated decision. It's that human beings have trouble sometimes associating with our future selves. We have trouble making rational decisions. And sometimes we just act on the basis of whatever whims are motivating us. And sometimes the notion of Schar V'Onesh is just a way of getting us to realize, like, stop and think rationally about what you are doing. It's something that Chazal recognizes as well. The Gemara in Maseches Sota at the very beginning says, you don't sin until there's a Ruach Shtus, which literally means a measure of insanity that takes over you. It's an expression of the fact that sin is irrational. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, before you act, just think about what you're doing and think about whether it's worth it. And just act rationally. You don't need to evoke the scary images of fire and whatever images that people invoke when they're talking about punishment. Just think clearly about what you are doing. And what are your values? And is it truly worth it? And if I believe that this is something I will be punished for, is it worth doing? And hopefully, you know what? Maybe that even spurs you to think a little bit further about why it's wrong and about what you should be doing and what's appropriate to be doing. But a lot of times, just the pure calculation of reward and punishment is a means towards just thinking about what I'm doing before I do it. Making sure that I actually engage in a rational decision in which I think about what choices I'm making rather than just acting on my base desires, whims, my innate drives, in which I'm actually making meaningful choices, and it's a way to spur those meaningful choices or to force us to actually engage in thought before we make choices and before we act. And yeah, that is the lowest level of motivation. It's not the best form of motivation, but I think it can in many ways spur the higher forms of motivation or the higher forms of thought processes that exist before our before we make choices and before we engage in actions. And at the very least, it's a fallback option so that when we're not on the highest levels where we're ready to do what's right just because it's right, where we're consumed with love of Hashem and we're ready to do mitzvos lishma and avoid averos for the same reason, at the very least, we have this fallback option of realizing that there is schar v'onesh, that there is reward for our actions, even if it's not our primary motivator. We are held responsible for our failures and our shortcomings. And that cognizance, that recognition, and that belief should hopefully indeed serve as an additional motivator to improve and to always try to do what's best and what's right.